What if she goes off and gets a boyfriend?
At math camp?
I just have to tell her.
Here's what you gotta do. You know how in the military, they're like, the first word and the last word out of your mouth needs to be sir? Do it like that, but with girl. Girl, you look so fine, girl. Like that.
Has it ever worked for you?
Boy, no, it has not, boy.
That's a clip from the Amazon Freevee streaming series, Primo. It was created by best-selling author and beta regular Shea Serrano. It's based on Shea's life growing up in San Antonio, Texas. Primo is a very funny situation comedy that follows Rafa, a 16-year-old high school student who's dealing with being raised by his five uncles, who live with him. Christina Vidal plays Drea, Rafa's mother. She's the stabilizing force that keeps her son and five brothers from wreaking total havoc. Former beta guest Michael Schur, the man behind such hit sitcoms as Parks and Recreation and The Good Place, worked with Shea to develop Primo. Together, they took an era of Shea's life and turned it into a heartwarming and hilarious show. Shea joins us to tell why he wanted to share this part of his life with the world.
I had written a couple of books. I've been doing journalism for a while, and I was ready to like try some new stuff. And so I went to a dinner with my wife Laramie. I was telling her I wanted to try to do a TV show, and then we just started talking about what that show could be, and we went back and forth on a few ideas. We both liked a version of like a family in South San Antonio, and we just started talking our way through that until eventually we landed on what the idea for Primo was. There's a mom and she has five brothers, and the brothers are like helping to raise the 16-year-old kid. When I was talking to Mike about it, he was like, oh, it's like Inside Out. This is live action Inside Out. And I was like, that sounds great. Yeah, that's exactly it. Let's do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Michael Schur, who has also been on our show and who of course is responsible for such sitcoms as Parks and Recreation, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place, and Rutherford Falls. And you contacted him because, correct me if I'm wrong, but back in 2017, you said you were tired of waiting for there to be more Mexicans on TV. So you decided to reach out, right? Is that an accurate quote?
Yeah, I remember tweeting that when the news came out that we had sold the show.
Right.
I was very excited.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so you pitched the idea to Michael Schur. How did he react?
Mike was super cool. You mentioned he's been on the show. He's like the nicest, most humble dude.
Mm-hmm. Much like yourself.
Yeah, except he's better.
I don't know about that.
So I met with him in his office. At the time, I didn't like really have a sense of who he was. He was just like a name on a list where the agents were sending me all over LA to meet with different people. And I walked in and I was like, oh, shoot, it's Moe's from The Office. This is crazy. Like, this is going to be fun. And we just sat there and chit-chatted it up for an hour. We maybe talked about the show for like 5 or 10 minutes, but mostly we talked about basketball and about being a dad and that sort of thing. But it was pretty clear we were like getting along very effortlessly. Mm-hmm. So as I was leaving, he was like, oh, hey, whatever that, you know, that idea you want to do, I'll help you do it if you want to do it. And I was like, oh, that sounds cool. Sure. And then I left. And then when I called the agents and told them, they were all freaking out. They were like, do you not know who this guy is? Like, he's responsible for this, the you know, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine, the show you're talking about, The Good Place. And then I realized in that moment, in my office right now, I have like a Blood In, Blood Out movie poster hanging up. And I have a Desperado movie poster hanging up and a Bloodsport movie poster hanging up. Mike also has posters in his office hanging up. I thought they were just TV shows that he liked in the way that I have movies that I like. And it was all TV shows that he had made. And I'm like, oh my God, what an idiot I am. I had no idea. And then there you go.
Yeah. But no, you're not an idiot at all because you've been very busy. And look at everything you've done. Everything you've done kind of turns to gold. So how did you and Michael collaborate in terms of developing the show?
When I showed up, I had the general outline of what the show was. It was like a paragraph long pitch, two paragraphs or whatever. And then he said, okay, this is like a good start. Here's what we do next. You're going to need to write a character doc, like list out all the characters and their personalities and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, okay, cool. I got it. What does that mean and how do I do it? And he goes, oh, okay, you've never done this before, cool. I'll send you an example of one that I've written. Great. He sends it to me. I read through it. Okay, I understand. And I write that up. And then the next one, I was like, all right, cool. You did that. Now you need to do a story doc. All right. What is that? What does that mean? What does that look like? And he just is like, he just baby stepped me through the whole process. Each time we would enter a new phase, he would just sit me down and go, here's what that means. And here's how we get through it. He's like a natural mentor. It's really impressive when you talk to him and it's like, oh man, this is something that he just is good at doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Since Primo is based on your life as a teenager, being raised by your mother and five uncles, I'm curious about how similar are the actors who play your relatives to your actual relatives?
We used my uncles, my mom, the bus driver, the love interest, as like just general shapes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we built out from there. So it's like, okay, my mom is this type of person. All right, great. Let's find, we found Christina. She was perfect for it. Mm-hmm. And then you just write for what Christina is good at, which turns out is everything. And you just give her as much space as possible. And then she builds this incredible character.
Mondo, where the hell have you been?
Here.
Okay, your doctor called. We need to get your heart checked. Let's go.
I'm sure it's fine. The universe will take care of me.
Yeah, I'm the universe. That's me. I'm here to take care of you. Keeping you baboons alive is a full-time job. Let's go.
Same with the other five uncles. We had like a general shape. Okay, we need one guy who's gonna be like really pragmatic and super interested in just like working hard. Okay, cool. And then that's one of my uncles. And then another one should be the opposite of that, just like free spirit, sort of wandering the earth. Okay, cool. And a wild man and the military guy and the like social climber. They're when my uncles watch the show, they can go like, okay, that's me. But mostly it's just, we use the general shape and then build from there.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious about what it was like for you to watch the actors playing your mother and your uncles, like when you would see them, you know, filming scenes. What was going on in your brain? Was it like a flashback kind of experience or not really?
No, not really, because we had, or I guess I had decided pretty early on that I was not interested in doing like a shot-for-shot remake of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So once we had the characters in place, then it was just all sort of, these are just fictional characters now. Because if I was trying to make them too much like the people in my life, I found myself in the writer's room, for example, I would be very defensive when somebody would pitch a thing like for the mother, for Drea to do. I would be like, my mom would never do that. How dare you? I would get mad and be like, this is not gonna work. We have to separate this. This has got to be a work of fiction, not true to life, you know?
Yeah.
One of the main differences, a good example is like in real life, my dad and my mom are married, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the show, you can't have the dad character there because you need the five uncles to be the dad. So we just, all right, well, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah, it's just like in service of the story.
Yeah, the casting is perfect. Like that's such, everyone in it is so great. And I'm curious about what your family thinks of the show. You mentioned, I think, that your mother and your uncles have seen it.
We did a screening for them a couple of weeks ago. It was the first time any of them had watched it. I was real nervous,
mm-hmm.
like before we started playing it. I was like, oh my God, what if they hate it? This is going to be terrible. Because mainly the whole reason I was doing the show was I wanted for them to watch it and then go, whoa, I had like a profound impact on this kid's life in a very positive way. That's what I wanted them to walk away from the show with. And that's what I tried to make sure that we did in the show. And so I was nervous to show it to them, but we started watching it. And by the second episode, they're all hooting and hollering and like yelling at the TV screen like we're watching a basketball game. Then they all just said the nicest things about it. Two of them start crying when they're watching it. Like, it was a really great experience seeing them watch the show. They were over the moon for it.
That's great to hear. Wonderful. And I can understand why they would be. How difficult a transition was it for you to go from writing your two number one New York Times bestsellers to writing a TV script?
The transition was really tricky. It's difficult because I was so used to doing like nonfiction writing, right?
Yeah.
And when you're writing about, when you're doing nonfiction writing, the history has been established. A person does a thing and that thing makes sense because they have the history that leads up to it, right?
Right.
You don't have to worry about that part. But when you're writing fiction, you all of a sudden have to account for all of that. Like if a character is gonna say a thing or react a certain way, there's gotta be a reason why. So you have to build all of that in place. Otherwise it starts to feel disjointed or like it doesn't make sense. Like there's, it'd be like if you were watching the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and then Uncle Phil for some reason decided to smack one of the kids. And you'd be like, well, that's not who that character is because of the history we know. He's this very loving, very, very tender father and father figure. And they did such a great job of establishing that character, right? When I was working on the show, writing that stuff, it was like, oh, we have to do all of that first before we can do this other stuff. Mike was explaining a thing about how, like, after a couple of episodes, what it should feel like is you should be able to look at a script with nobody's name on it. Like no character name. You should be able to tell just by the line who's saying that thing. And that was like in my head a really helpful, like a writing tip that Mike had that helps you understand the scope of the work.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very good tip, yeah. That first episode that you wrote the script for, the first episode, Big Eyes, it's very funny. Well, all of the episodes are very funny, but the first one it's very funny, and you came up with some great one-liners for the actors to say. Do you have a favorite scene in that episode?
My favorite scene in that episode is the very last one when they're all sitting at the table together, and Rafa is telling them, you know, he's made his decision, he's going to do this. And so they're all sitting around eating. It's Rafa, it's Drea, it's the five uncles. And anytime we could get all of the characters together, it was just the most fun thing.
Actually, the point is that I'm grateful for you guys. You are all looking out for me, and I'm sure I'm going to need to lean on all of y'all at the appropriate times for advice on different things.
Like when you're going to ask Maya out?
Told you Maya's the girl I like.
Our brains. Every time we see you make Google eyes at her.
Hold on. Did you just say Google eyes?
Yeah, Google eyes. That's why they call it Google. It's like your eyes are searching for information.
It's Google eyes.
No, it's googly eyes.
Gentlemen, it's googly. Like a ghoul. Because you're so scared of how much you like that person.
Yeah, I'm so scared that is the dumbest thing I have ever
seen. But I remember specifically that one because we're shooting it. We're like a couple of days into the shoot, maybe a week or so. And they're out there and in between takes, they're all joking around and playing. And they're like, they keep breaking character because they're laughing so much. And I was sitting there watching it. And I was with Lisa Muse Bryant, who's an executive producer on the show, and Peter Murrieta, who's an executive producer on the show. They were in Albuquerque when we were filming it. But we're sitting there watching it. And I was like, oh my God, this has a chance to be something really good. Like I felt it in that moment, just watching them all interact with each other because they felt like a family. It was clear that they all liked each other. It was clear that we were headed in the right direction and it looked great. And the script was really strong because we had gone through so many rewrites and we had a writer's room now pitching on jokes. And watching that scene now, especially when I rewatch the show, I remember the back end of it and having that feeling of being like, oh man, this has a real chance here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely a very, very solid real chance. And Rafa, of course, is the character inspired by you. Do you have a favorite episode of the eight episodes that make up the first season?
Man, I feel like anytime somebody asks me that, I have a different answer. Like right now, I'm thinking about the cookout episode, which is the second in the air.
Yes.
Order. And Courtney Creel directed that. And I remember when we saw his cut, I was watching it and was like, this is exactly what I want the show to be like.
The Gonzalez Family Neighborhood Barbecue. That's enough. Mondo, Ryan, you're on fireworks, as usual. Don't know how you're going to top last year.
It'll come to me. I am but a vessel. The Aztec god of fire, Xutukutli, speaks through me. Plus, I have a cool lamp. We can do 3D renderings of the explosions. The merging of the ancient with the modern. This is how civilization progresses. Just like when Santana played with the Matchbox 20 guy.
Rolly, beer duty.
Got it. Can't wait.
Beer duty means you get beer for other people, not just you drink a lot of beer.
What?
This is the template right here. It feels they're at the house. They're all together. There's all this goofy stuff going on. There's some really funny lines in that one. There's really a heartfelt moment at the end. It's just right now thinking about it, that's my answer for favorite because it was the first time felt like, oh man, it's all here.
Yeah, it is all there. The show really is firing on all cylinders, definitely. A couple of years ago, you said that you were feeling as happy and proud as your beloved San Antonio Spurs were when they won the championship in 2014. Are you still feeling that way now?
I do, yeah. I rewatched the show recently. You know, it's always nice to, like, when you're working on it, you watch it 50 times every single episode, like all the way through. Mm-hmm. And then you take a cut. We finished it. It's all done. There's nothing. There's no changes you can make now. It's like locked and loaded and been distributed. So now you go back and watch it in a different sort of way of like, okay, I'm not looking for anything to change. I have to watch it now and just hope that it's actually good. And mm-hmm. I wasn't lying to myself. And I sat there and I watched all 8 episodes in my office by myself with the lights off and my phone off. And I was just so proud and happy and in love with it. It turned out so, so great. The work of 250 very talented people. To me, I watch the screen and I see all of their work up there.
Well, that's great. What a kind and thoughtful thing of you to say. Shea Serrano, thank you very much for joining us today. Congratulations on the debut season of Primo. We are looking forward to watching many more seasons.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Shea Serrano is a best-selling New York Times author and the creator of the Amazon Freevee streaming series, Primo. You can find out more about Shea and Primo at wpr.org/beta.
This book flowed out of it. It was a very pleasant experience to write. I know it's not, it's hard to believe because it's such a brutal book.
Coming up, the acclaimed novelist Dennis Lehane on his latest novel, Small Mercies. It's a propulsive thriller set against the 1974 Boston busing riots. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.